Did see a couple of folks coming back in from up north, but they found out it was still hot. I don't know if they're going to stay or not. All joking aside, we do look forward to see a lot of our folks begin to come back here maybe in just a few weeks and into the middle of the campaign here. And all the decoration, I told somebody, walked in this morning, one of those stacks of hay looked just like you could sleep on it. Anybody ever sleep on the hay, tell the truth, did you? It reminded me when I was 15, 16 years old, Daddy would take the truck and load it up with watermelons and go north to the northern markets. And that was our motel, the hay. Pack the watermelons in the hay. Of course, the only trouble with that is the mice like the hay, too. Ladies, have you ever woke up at night with a mouse crawling on you? I got used to it, to tell you the truth. I can handle it all right. All right, John chapter 14. We'll go a little further in it this morning. Try to go a little faster. I emphasize the word try. I have trouble moving on sometime. But the Word of God is good. You get into it, one thing just kind of leads to another, don't it? We're going to start in about verse 15 or 16. The subject pretty much changes now. The Lord's been telling his disciples he's going to leave them, but he's telling them he's not going to leave them alone. He's going to send somebody to take his place. Now, he's talking to his immediate disciples, and he's told them let their heart not be troubled. He's going away. He's coming again, but now he begins to talk to them about a comforter. We know the comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll move down through some of the verses in just a minute. You can read in the Bible and see sometimes when the whole Godhead shows up at one time. What I mean by that, God is always omnipresent and all of that truth, but you find where Jesus was baptized, you find Jesus was God in the human body. The Father spoke from above. The Holy Spirit appeared as a dove upon him. You see the Trinity showing up sometimes like that in the Word of God. So while Jesus is going away, Jesus, in a sense, is still with them because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come back. So we'll talk about that maybe just a little bit this morning. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. See the word another? That means I was here comforting you in this body. Now another is coming. The Comforter with a big capital C, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about God. That he may abide with you forever. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit coming and going, but the truth is he's always forever because he's part of the Godhead. We need to kind of keep that in mind sometime. A lot of false doctrine taught about the Holy Spirit, a lot of stuff said about him. Some folks think he's just a kind of a magic spirit that appears, and a lot of folks claim the Holy Spirit made me do something. Remember, the scripture says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, what does that mean? It means the prophet's going to have to answer for what he blamed on God sometime. Got to be careful about that. I remember before I was ever saved, just a teenager skipping school, going to the packing house to work during the Christmas holidays. You probably never done that, but times were tough in Haines City in them days. And I thought when my letter got home and Daddy caught up with me skipping school, I was going to get a whipping, not a whipping, but a whipping. But you know, he said, what'd you do? I found out you didn't go to school this week. I said, I worked. He said, okay. Times were tough. Amen. But I remember when I was working that job, a guy that was probably honestly trying to witness to us, but he didn't do much of a good job. He started talking to us a little bit about the Holy Spirit. We didn't know what he was talking about. Finally, he kind of ran and turned to flip in front of us and said, see, the Holy Spirit made me do that. I thought, no, your foolish self made you do that. No, a lot of folks do blame silly stuff on God. It's not true at all. But it is a great doctrine. It is a great truth. And he is a great comforter. And we need to understand that a little bit about him. So Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father. He's going to send the Comforter. We know on the day of Pentecost, we get to the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit came in presence. We want to say baptism of the Holy Spirit. He came and immersed the first church, we would say right there. But listen, he is very real to the believer. You and I know what it is to hear a good gospel song or a good message or have some special blessing, and the Holy Spirit just make it precious to us. I've seen folks who give a testimony about their salvation, including myself sometime, and see tears come to their eyes. The Holy Spirit is real in moments like that, very, very real. And thankfully, somebody said to the preacher, old preacher said, do you always know when the Holy Spirit is with you? He said, no, but I always know when he's not. That's a good thing to remember right there. Fellow said, I'm just going to preach. Well, what are you preparing to preach? What have you studied? What do you think you're going to? I don't know. I'll just get up and open my mouth and it'll come out. Yeah, it will, but it won't be the Holy Spirit doing that. I guarantee you. But we need to know a little bit about the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to take all too much time on it this morning, but reading down through the verses here tells us about him. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. This is who the Comforter is. If it's really the Holy Spirit, he's not going to teach you error. He's not going to lead you in error. It's always going to be in truth. Says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. That's the world now. That's the lost world. They certainly do not know. You'd imagine the evil we see going on today. You wonder how in the world. Sometimes somebody says, well, he don't have a soul. Yeah, he has a soul, but he's not in touch with God. He's not connected to God. The Bible says when we get born again, we are born of the Spirit of God. I've used this illustration before, but think about it. A volleyball or a basketball or maybe, to me, an old-fashioned car tire back when they had tubes in them represent what we are. God's a trinity and man's a trinity. Man is body, soul, and spirit as God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Trinity. You know, if you're not saved, you're sort of like a flat tire. Because the outer tire is like the flesh, the body. The inner tube is like the soul. What's in the inner tube? Air. When you're reading John chapter 3, you're reading about being born of the Spirit of God, and Jesus compared it to the wind blowing. You could see what the wind blew, but you couldn't see the wind. You don't see the Spirit, but you feel the Spirit. You can feel the wind. And the word pneumonia, I had pneumonia here for a while, about 3 weeks of it, I think. You know what pneumonia does? It messes with your air. It messes with your breathing. And the Holy Spirit is like the air. You read in the Old Testament where David was fighting the enemy, and God told him, hide over here in the mulberry trees, set an ambush for the enemy, but don't you come out until I give you the signal. And the signal was when the wind would go through the branches or the leaves of the mulberry trees. God said, when I stir that, that's my signal to attack. The wind, type of the Holy Spirit, God's presence was there. That's a subject, and you can just keep on going. The illustration is very real, though, with the wind. The Holy Spirit is that part of us. We speak of the soul being a born-again soul, but in truth, it's a born-again spirit. If you really read the scripture, born of the Spirit of God. Now, this is talking about the Holy Spirit being present with us and being a comforter to us. And says the world can't receive him. They don't know him. And I said as a while ago, all the evil you see going on, there seems to be no God consciousness. Early days of America, even with people that didn't go to church, they had a sense of God about them. They had a sense of right and wrong that came from a Christian culture that had been preached and been understood. Most any home, if it had a book at all, it had a Bible in it. First Christian school started on the Word of God as being the main textbook. All of that, our country lived off of that culture. That was our foundation for a long time. But now the world, including America, don't know God like they used to. We saw in the funeral business here with Charlie Kirk, we saw two sides very clearly, didn't we? And that's two sides is even getting more apparent and more apparent as we get near the wrap-up of things, near of the Lord Jesus coming back. The world doesn't know him, doesn't want to know him. In fact, fighting against him, considering him the enemy. See, everything is virtuous and right that is of God. The world seems to be against it and even consider it the enemy today. So the world cannot receive him. They don't know him, but Jesus says, you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, he was not in them at that present, but when Jesus leaves, he's sending the comfort back. In a sense, we could say a dispensational change. A change took place. Jesus is going back, but he's sending another to his believers, to his disciples here, to be their comforter. If you're born again, you've received Christ, like I say, you know what it is to be comforted by the Holy Spirit. There's times in all of our lives when we can tell the ones we love the most, the people that are our friends, and thankfully they can help and they'll pray for us, and that's some comfort. But the greatest and only real lasting comfort you're going to have that works is God's comfort. On the inside, the deepest part of your being will be the Holy Spirit of God coming in as the comforter. It's very real. I remember my earliest years after I got saved. Somebody said, what did you give up? I gave everything up the Holy Spirit asked me to that I could possibly fight the flesh and win over. Amen. As a preacher through the years, I had people come to me. Brother Burton mentioned a while ago about the guy bringing the cigarettes and throwing them away. By the way, who picked them up? All right, we're just joking around on that. But I've had many a man say to me, before you ever preached against that, I quit it. You know why? Somebody preached it inside to them. They got the message from the Holy Spirit before they ever heard a sermon on it. That happened to me, happened to so many of you been born again. Say, well, I didn't totally quit it. Yeah, but you felt guilty every time you didn't, right? And that guilt, you grieve the Holy Spirit. To me, that's about the worst pain there is. So how do you fix it? You get right about it. You repent about it. You ask forgiveness about it. If it's something you can undo, you do undo it. That's the only way you're going to get peace about it. But the comforter is not only a comforter in a sense, he's a policeman that moves in, that puts our on guard about what is right and what is wrong. And I have people so many times through my ministry at different times want to talk to me, and I find out what they really want to do is get me as the pastor, or man of God, to give them an escape door to do what they want to and still be right with God. You can't do that. I've asked some folks before, and sometimes maybe made them a little hard feeling at me. You know, a lot of times the messenger gets the hate instead of the one he's bringing the message from, which is the Lord. I've had somebody come to me trying to figure a way out to basically do wrong. And I said, all right. They said, what about this preacher? I said, well, what did God tell you about it? God already told them before they ever got in my office, that's right or wrong. It don't matter if I say it's right. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that conviction in there. And so many times I've had some folks look down at the floor and say, yeah, I know. You're just looking for, like going to the tax man and seeing if he can find a loophole for you. You know, looking for God's word to have a loophole so you can do it anyway. Folks, the Holy Spirit's not going to let you get by with that. He will grieve you about it every time, and he'll grieve you till you get peace about it by fixing it with him. Amen? Anyway, Jesus tells them the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to be in them. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, notice the Holy Spirit is coming, then I will come. They're one and the same in a sense. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, yes. So you notice the clear words of the King James Bible, how it always, even the little things like that will show you it's God's word. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Now, mostly he's talking about right now. He's fixing to go. He's fixing to be crucified. He's already talked to them about that. They will not see him. And they haven't seen him since, of course, he was crucified. You know, when Christ arose from the dead, he never showed himself to the world. You read your Bible close. It was always to believers every time he showed up. It was to his people. When he comes back for the saved, the world's not going to see him. When he comes back for you and I that are born again, we're going to go and they're going to say, what happened? We're going to go in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. And there's all kind of books been written, all kind of ways to explain it. But I still believe there's going to have to be a lot of fear and a lot of horror with folks that had loved ones that are gone and they can't find them anymore. And I've read all the theories about it. Somebody said God wouldn't let the airplane pilot disappear out of the plane and crash the plane. I don't know. But if he's saved, he's going. And you can apply that all across the board to doctors and hospitals and all the different things. The rapture is going to get some attention, folks. It has to. I mean, no other way. You take two people walking together and one disappears. Now, the devil is going to be quick and has already, I believe, prepared an excuse to tell the lie and fool people, and a lot of folks will be fooled. It is amazing today, with the facts that we know today, how people still don't want to face the truth about things. What I believe, don't mess with the facts. I don't want the facts. I already know what I want to believe. That's the attitude that so many have today. Moving on down through the scripture a little bit. He said, because I live, you shall live also. Of course, he's in verse 19. He's talking about the resurrection. Yes, because Jesus lives, we're his. We belong to him. We're going to live also. We talk about the prayer list here. We got a long one all the time. We got some of our folks in the hospital. I look around our congregation, including myself. I see us all getting older and some dropping out here or there. That's the way of life. The Bible calls it the way of all the earth. That's happening. That's going to happen. But listen, just on the other side is what we don't see. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, I have not seen and nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I love him. I'm expecting the scripture to be fulfilled when I take that last breath. Amen? Truth is, somebody says you fear death, not in the way you're talking about. I might fear how slow it's going to be, how bad it's going to be, how painful to get out of this old body. But brother, once that last breath's taken, it's going to be all right. It's going to be great, in fact. I mean, no way hard to put it into words. I've said this so many times, keep saying it. I think it's kind of profound. I don't know if I invented or heard it from somebody else, but I've often said, a man's not ready to live till he's ready to die. Once you're ready to die, you've got peace that will help you live better. It'll give you more peace, take away the fear while you're alive now. Amen? So the Comforter speaks to our heart. You ever been reading the Bible when it just kind of jumps off the page and the truth comes and next thing you know, you'll say, boy, that's the truth. Well, you knew that all the time. But the Holy Spirit applied it to you. Some particular problem, need, answer, some question. It applied it to you. Very, very real. That's the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, but you can hear a song or one thing that will certainly witness, the Holy Spirit will witness to, if you can have a chance and take the Word of God and show somebody how to be saved and be right there at when their spiritual birth takes place, the Holy Spirit will say amen to that in your heart. It'll be very, very, very real to you. And I remember when I first started trying to preach, when my pastor would tell me, now I'm going to be gone Wednesday night, you got to preach, and scare me to death. I remember going out behind the old church building one night, had to preach on Sunday night. It was a bigger crowd, and I was a little more afraid. And I went out behind the old church building, got in an old building we used for Sunday school class out there. And I had me a good prayer time before church started, just by myself. And the Lord brought a verse to my mind that I've kind of claimed for my own through the years, even though it's out of context. It don't apply to me, but the Holy Spirit applied it to me. Now, he can do that. It's Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. There's a little plaque in the office somebody gave me for years. Because for years and years, every time I would preach, I would claim that verse in prayer just before I preached. Now, somebody said, why'd you quit doing that? Because I began to realize it was a formality. Some folks were just thinking that's all it was. I still, in my heart, claim that every time all the years. Zechariah 4, 6, part B. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What was the meaning of that? The meaning was, Lord, I'll fall flat on my face if you're not in this. That's what it meant. It meant if the Spirit of God don't use me, I can't do it by myself. And they say, well, why do you use it? Because it reminds me always. I don't care how much education I have now that I didn't have then. I don't care about all the times and experiences and stuff. If it's still not, God's not in it, then it don't so to speak, fly. It don't do good. And you say, does preachers ever preach a sermon when they're not happy with it? About half of them, maybe more. A young preacher, his wife was going home after he preached at a church, driving home together. I think the sermon probably hadn't gone very well. Finally, she asked him, said, well, how'd the sermon go? He said, which sermon are you talking about? The one I prepared to preach, or the one I preached, or the one I'm preaching to me right now? Three of them. I've been there. Most preachers have. I told this one time, it was on the radio, and I got an unusual answer back on it. I told how I was rambling through the closet, my wife's closet, and I found a shoebox. It had a bunch of money in it, cash money. So I got to counting it, and it's quite a bit of money. I thought, how in the world? I know she's thrifty. I know she's been cutting grocery prices, and she's been saving for years, but how'd she get this much money? I think it was about $3,000 or $4,000, lots of money. So I went to her, and I said, I want to know how you got all this money. She said, you know, every time you preached and laid an egg, I put a dollar in the box. She said, I put an egg in the box. I'm sorry, not a dollar, an egg in the box. I said, I still don't know how you got on a dollar. She said, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them. Now, it's just a made-up joke. But sometime I felt that way, put another egg in the box. Amen. Truth is, you need the Holy Spirit in serving God. We've got ministries all over this place, bus ministries, Sunday schools, and all the stuff you work in. But folks, we can't lose track. It's still not us. We got a lot of machinery we used to not have. We got a lot better buses than we used to have. We got a lot of things much better. But it's still going to depend on having the Holy Spirit's blessings and power on all we do. Oh, if we don't, it's just nothing. It's just tinkling cymbals and not going to have the power of God on it. Coming on down through the verses, it's still on the subject pretty much as Jesus is talking to him about the comforter here. And he says, in that day, talking about when he comes back, verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now he's talking about that's the relationship we have if we're saved. We in Christ, John chapter 10, I think we've already probably talked about this, where Jesus says the Father and I are one. Jesus holds his hand, his Father's hand's on top of his. Brother, we're secure. You talk about, somebody say you can jump out of his hand. No, you'd be stronger than God if you could. You can't do that. We're secure. We're in Christ, and the Father has his hand over us. He holds us. It's real easy sometimes to say, I'm holding to God's hand. Well, I got a better truth than that. He's holding to me. Because I can let go of him. He won't let go of me. Amen. So we got this wonderful truth of the Holy Spirit being with us. He's our comforter. Times when nobody else can comfort us, he can. Preacher's job is to use the scripture to comfort. What comforts from the scripture is the promises of God. It's really not what we say about it. It's for us to get our attention on the very word and understand what it says. Somebody said a preacher's job is to comfort the afflicted and also afflict the comfortable. I've been better at afflicting the comfortable sometime, maybe. But truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit can do that. The preacher can't really do it. Use the Word of God with God's Spirit's blessing on it. It's amazing, though, how folks do blame you as a messenger. Lady wrote me a note one time. She said, I came to church, you preached, and I felt worse when I left. Well, maybe that was good. Maybe it was something you need to feel bad over. Might have been something God revealed to you you ought to correct. Early years of the church, I never forget this one, and it's been so long, nobody knows who I'm talking about, so don't worry about it. I barely remember myself. But there was a couple in church in the early years. Lady was very faithful. Husband, opposite. But he had to bring her to church, and he hated every minute of it. Taking his time to bring her to church on Sunday morning. We was in the little building over there. And so, of course, I have been known to run past 12 o'clock. And he'd set out and sometime blow the horn in the parking lot. I knew who it was. He wanted his wife to go home and fix lunch. Anyway, I went to his house maybe twice, tried to talk to him. And I mean, he wouldn't hardly let you say anything before he was just, if I come to that church and you preach to that Bible of yours, and he said, that Bible puts me down. I don't like what it says about me. I mean, he was pretty plain about what he felt. And he hated bringing her to church, but she told him right in front of me, you are going to bring me to church. Maybe she meant, if you don't, I'm not cooking for you or something. I don't know what she was holding over his head, but he still had to bring her. He wouldn't sit out there the whole time. He'd bring her and come back, of course. One Sunday morning, he was really fussing and tearing on about not bringing her to church and saying some awful things about the Lord and the Bible and the preacher and everything. He got in his car to bring her, though. Halfway church, just a little ways, he got to hurting. He said, oh, I've got stomach upset. So he pulled into the first little 7-Eleven, whatever it was, to get him some antacid, some Tom's or something. But he never got out of the car. He fell over on the steering wheel dead. I thought, now to go out in God's presence right after you've been cussing and fussing about having to bring your wife to church and all the things you've said. I want to tell you something, folks. It's dangerous. It is dangerous to be on the wrong side against God like that. But the comforter will comfort you, but the other word he convicts. He convicts the lost man that's not saved. He did me, didn't he? You, even before I ever got saved, I'd hear somebody say something about the Bible. Oftentimes it wasn't the Bible, but once in a while somebody would have something right out of the Bible, and it would stab me when they'd say it. My grandma in particular, you've heard my story, read her old Bible at me just before I'd go racing at night. And I always wondered why that book bothered me so much. School books didn't bother me. Library books about Shakespeare didn't bother me. But that old Bible bothered me. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction even to man's spirit. And God's spirit is still in communication to the place where the Holy Spirit will convict. And convict somebody that I am a sinner. See, most folks will never get saved until they are sure that they're lost. The Holy Spirit will convict them, let them know. And I want to tell you, somebody said, how'd you feel after you got saved? Brother Parson said it the other day, a big burden fell like it off. Oh, yes, sir. That burden of fear, that burden that sin that stole your peace. That's what I felt. I felt lighter. I remember the next morning getting up, and you heard me say it before. I was out loading fruit in the grove at daylight, and I never heard the birds sing so pretty or the oranges look any more like big balls of gold and the sun rising. You know why? Because there's a little voice inside. It's all right now. Peace of God, very real. That's the Holy Spirit that comforts. I didn't go on through all the verses I intended, and my time's up. Okay. Still not up there a great deal, 801. That's good. Stay with us just a few minutes. The preaching will get started here.